Shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Don't catch you slipping up. Look what I'm whipping up. Look how I'm geeking up. I'm so pretty. I'm on Gucci. I'm so pretty.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get it. This is Belly.
Yeah.
On my Kodak. Black. Ooh, know that.
Good evening, folks. We are at KCNR 96.5 FM. Please, please call in tonight at 605-4567 or 4566 and join us. This is Shay Stevens. I'm in the studio all by my lonesome tonight. And we are talking tonight about our local community. And we are urging our local community to vote for sanity and against extremism. We'd like to give a shout out to our neighbors next door, Maxwell's. They are having pint night tonight. Tony is on staff for Seaquake Crescent City. I'm guessing that's a beer brewery. Yeah. Okay. That was just thrown at me. So if anybody wants a pint tonight, maybe as you watch the debate between the two VP candidates, tonight would be the night. We want to thank you for joining us tonight as we discuss extremism in our local elections. We know we're competing with the debate tonight, but you can listen into our podcast later. We chose to cover local issues as they affect us the most. So big issue we want to talk about is Project 2025 and its implications for public education, for our local elections. Many conservative folks in our community deny that Project 2025 is real, as a lot of the cable networks are trying to distance the conservative candidates away from Project 2025 because it is so extreme. A dear friend of mine recently told me, "I'm not worried at all. It doesn't exist. Donald Trump said he doesn't know what it is." But I have a question for you guys, and this is just like a critical thinking question. If J.D. Vance wrote the foreword for the document, let's take a minute to really think about what that means. Either A, Vance was not vetted before being selected as the VP candidate, or B, Trump is very well aware of Project 2025. And I will let you use those critical thinking skills to come to a conclusion about that. But we have some facts to share about Project 2025 and the plan for local elections. So Project 2025 is a strategic plan developed by conservative think tanks and political groups aiming to reshape federal government policy and bureaucracy if a Republican wins the 2024 U.S. presidential election. This is something that has been in the works for several years by the Heritage Project, which also supports Moms for Liberty. Its goal is to implement a conservative vision by restructuring various federal agencies, reducing the influence of the administrative state, and promoting policies aligned with traditional conservative values. I don't like that traditional conservative values talk because I feel like a lot of my conservative friends are not in agreement with the conservative values of Project 2025. While the project is focused on federal government overhaul, it could have several potential impacts on local elections. One, mobilization of conservative voters. Project 2025 serves as a rallying point for conservative voters, particularly those motivated by issues like government overreach, social policy, and education. Local elections could see increased voter turnout among conservatives, especially if candidates align themselves with Project 2025's goals. Policy influence on local candidates. Candidates in local elections may adopt some of the policy ideas from Project 2025, as we have seen, I have seen firsthand working with the local board that I work with in the Anderson District. and full disclosure, I work there and I speak for myself. This could influence debates on issues like education, curriculum content, law enforcement, or the role of local government in implementing federal regulations. Impact on school boards and education policy is a significant part of Project 2025. It focuses on education reform, including school choice and curriculum changes. Local school board elections could become battlegrounds for these ideas, with candidates advocating for policies aligned with the project's goals, such as pushing back on critical race theory or promoting charter schools. While those sound okay, the more you dilute funding for education, the more diluted education becomes. Influence of local conservative organizations. Project 2025 could empower local conservative advocacy groups to become more involved in local elections, supporting candidates who share their vision for government reform. These groups may increase funding, endorsements, and grassroots efforts to sway local races. Administrative changes affecting local governance in Project 2025, if Project 2025 leads to major federal bureaucratic changes, there could be a trickle-down effect on local governments, particularly if federal funding programs or regulations are modified. Local candidates may campaign on their ability to navigate or resist these changes to protect local interests. Overall, while Project 2025 is centered on the federal level, its ideological and policy goals could have a strong ripple effect on local elections by energizing those very conservative voters, influencing candidate platforms, and shifting the focus of local political debates. So we want to talk a little bit about those extreme candidates, starting with our Board of Supervisors District 3 candidate, who is running against Mary Rickert, Corky Harmon. He has stated recently that he does not support the Fountain Wind Project, and Mary has been consistent and honest with her views on that. She has never supported the Fountain Wind Project. But this is something Corky Harmon said just a little bit ago.
And now we have Measure P and Q on our ballots. Could you tell us what your opinion of Measure P and Measure Q are?
So I'm all for the charter county, because I think it pushes the state back. I don't remember Peter.
Good afternoon. I think most of you are familiar with me. I've met all of you and know you. The one thing I thought I would talk about just a little bit, I'm a business owner here in town, Simple Weevil House, Mountain Gate Quarry, White Rock Trucking. So we deal with reclamation with the quarry operation, and I think that it needs to be pointed out that the risk for Shasta County is, because, Aynard, am I correct saying this is being bonded just kind of like a quarry operation? Is Aynard still in here? I think this is important, that everybody understands that there's really no risk to the county, because they got to put up bonds.
Security bond for the decommissioning of the towers.
Right, just like a quarry operator does, where if they go bankrupt, they disappear in 30 years, 40 years. Those bonds are in place, and they cover the cost to reclaim. So the risk to the county is minimal. This is a huge project. I don't have any skin in the game, other than I'm a contractor, and we've got about 45 people work for us. We're always looking for jobs. We got to bid them competitive bid, just like this one will be competitive bid. We're hoping that you approve this project, you know, based on the fact that there's nothing negative about it in my mind for the county. It's all positive income, job producing, and like I said, the risk to the county is pretty much zero in my mind, and I think that the people that live in Round Mountain that experienced the fountain fire, this is going to put a fire break all the way across the back of Round Mountain. Access, we all know what that's like. You got to go in there and bulldoze roads. There's going to be roads that access all this up there. If I lived in Round Mountain, I'd like to see this project. I don't live in Round Mountain. I do have property up there, and we do provide a lot of operators, laborers, materials, and this is all beneficial to the county. What is it, $50 million in income in the next 40 years or so? I don't have all them details you guys do. I've seen them. I'm not here to repeat them. You guys have all heard it, but I hope that you consider this as a positive project and that you pass this unanimously, and I appreciate the time. Thank you.
So we're going to take a quick break and come back to what Corky Harmon said then and what Corky Harmon is saying now.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Welcome back to Shasta Unmasked. So right before break, we were talking about an audio played by, this was Corky Harmon speaking at a 2021 Board of Supervisors meeting where he pushes the idea of the Fountain Wind Project because he was going to personally benefit from that project. He talked about getting the bids for it, making money off of it, and he didn't see anything negative about it. While Mary Rickert has consistently stated she worries for her constituents and how they will be impacted. In 2021 is when Corky Harmon stated that he was in favor of the Fountain Wind Project. But now that he's running for office, and a lot of people are against this wind project. He says he opposes it, but can he be trusted? I can't even read that. Can you read that? Someone just passed me a note and I couldn't read it. I don't think Corky Harmon can be trusted. And when just recently, just a couple weeks ago, Corky and Mary were at a forum together where they were asked a bunch of questions. And at the end of it, Corky just said, I really don't know anything and I'm sorry about that. We actually have some audio where he states that he's really not qualified for this job.
Is that the first one?
Could you tell us what your opinion of Major P and Major Q are?
So, I'm all for the Charter County because I think it pushes the state back. I don't remember P and Q, to be honest with you. I've read it. I'm familiar with it. I'll stand up and tell you, as a county, I think that it's beneficial for us to make sure that we don't get things like the property rights for. Oh my gosh, what's
eminent domain?
Eminent domain?
Sorry. A little bit of deer in the headlights here. Sorry. I'm all about property rights. I think that eminent domain is a big deal. I think that this becoming a charter county pushes the state back. It gives us rights that we might not have right now. Some of it has to do with if somebody was to step away from the board, who makes the decision about who steps in? We don't want the state making that decision. We want to be able to make that decision ourselves. There's a couple ways to do that. You know what? This will probably come up in another topic. But I will learn everything there is to know about all these. And I'm a little behind here because I know Mary's been in this job for two terms. Please don't be critical of me not knowing all the little details. I'll learn all the little details. I'm very studious, and I'm very much about representing you and the people.
All right. So please don't judge him that he doesn't know anything. we have a caller. Caller, come on in.
Hello.
Hi, what's up?
Hi, it's Jessica French.
Hi, Jessica.
Nice to see you or hear you again.
Yeah, you too.
It's been a bit. I've been having to take a break, but I wanted to call in tonight and talk about this specific topic with you guys because, wow, I was at that forum and my jaw was just completely dropped open hearing Corky Harmon speak and not know what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. And at the end he said, don't be critical of me because I don't know what I'm talking about. But that's exactly what you should be doing. We should all be extremely critical of a candidate running for supervisor who doesn't know what he's talking about.
We don't have time for someone to learn the ropes. Like, you've got to come in with some experience, which is the same thing we're dealing with at the SCOE level and at our local school boards, too, right?
Right. Like, but not to me, it wasn't even knowledge that you need to know. I would expect them to need to go through training and all of that and learn some things.
Process and procedure.
Right.
Yes.
But for a regular person like myself that attends board meetings and listens to them online, attends candidate forums, for me to know more about the measures that they're talking about in the forum than a candidate running is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's been multiple articles written about measures P&Q. There has been all kinds of information put out in the media, and this is a major issue on our ballot. How can he not know? And I didn't appreciate the fact that I felt like he was being condescending towards Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And full disclosure, I love Mary. She's my supervisor. I'm in Area 3. I completely support her 100%. But mm-hmm. I feel like Corky Harmon, if he loves our county, needs to step down and endorse Mary and say, I made a mistake running. It's very clear that I'm out of my league here, and Mary is the best candidate for us for
and
the next 4 years.
Let's not forget, Mary Rickert is a conservative
person. Yeah.
Like, this is not some liberal, left-wing, you know, supervisor.
No.
She just vehemently disagrees with the three lame ducks there who think that it's okay to go against the law and not follow any procedure or it's just it's getting really disheartening.
Well, and the reason is because Corky is right along with them. He hosted the Red, White, and Blueprint fundraiser at his ranch.
Right.
He pretends like he's not aligned with the right-wing extremists,
and
but
I don't understand that. So, like, a lot of our local school board candidates are distancing themselves from Moms for Liberty when we know, I mean, you can just look at the playbook, and you know that they are working for Moms for Liberty, which is part of Project 2025. It's all linked together, but they claim that they're not, and they're distancing themselves from it. Why not own it? If that's what you believe.
Right.
And you think that this is the right thing for kids and the right thing for our community, then own that.
Right. We don't try and hide things
that's
we're
at
proud
least
of.
Respectable, right? Like, if I really feel strongly about something and I'm really convicted about it, I will own it.
Right.
I'm a very liberal person.
Mm-hmm.
I own that.
Yeah.
I'm a progressive person. I don't think I'm super progressive, but for the area in which I live, I'm progressive.
Right.
And I own that. I say who I am. I don't try to hide behind anything. I don't try to pretend like I'm somebody that I'm not. But, and I don't think you do either. I know you well enough to know that, you don't back down from who you are.
Right.
And a lot of these folks want to distance themselves from who they are. And if you're not confident in who you are, yourself,
yeah,
you definitely shouldn't be running for public office.
Well, and I should definitely tell you something. If you are not wanting to be publicly aligned with a movement, then that should be a red flag to you that it's the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And you should not want to be on that side of history. And it's not just whether or not the public knows about it. It's about the truth of the matter and what it is that they're, what agenda it is that they're pushing out to school boards and the rest of the political realm.
Right. And the whole reason we're talking about this tonight is to urge people to just vote for sanity and stability instead of all the chaos that we've dealt with. I mean, since 2016, it feels like everything has become chaotic. And all sense of, like, decorum has gone out the door. And it doesn't matter anymore that you don't know anything about what you're doing, because the whole idea is to disrupt the process and just burn down the whole house instead of fixing the roof.
Yeah.
You know,
we want to get back to boring meetings
where
people are, you know, where it's just business being done and that.
Yes.
And those
just the parliamentary procedures that we used to go through. And if you had something to say and you felt compelled to come speak at a board meeting, you weren't chastised for it or treated poorly in the public for speaking out.
And when who you vote for isn't going to ruin friendships.
Or ruin your life.
Yeah.
It's been pretty disheartening to say the least.
It has been. I mean, I've been dealing with that in my own life, on and off again. Like you said, I'm a Democrat, and being a Democrat here in Shasta County is not an easy,
not an easy thing.
Yeah. And as much as I'm not, I'm proud of who I am still. When you're meeting new people and you're the topic comes up, it's like, oh God, I don't even want to tell you
what helps me keep going is our listeners that are here right now with us, because I was at the Bonnie Raitt concert the other night and somebody that I didn't even know recognized me from the show and came up and introduced themselves and said that they listened to us. And I was so proud
of that
because they said, you know, keep up the good work.
Right.
And I was really proud of that because I do own who I am and I am proud of who I am.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to break really quickly, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some more crazies. Hey,
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Bot. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. from my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Okay, I got it.
All right, welcome back. We are at KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM with Shasta Unmasked. And it's our turn to do a little plug for ourselves tonight. And we need your help to keep Shasta Unmasked on the air.
Let me just quickly put an explanation out there because all that music was cut out from the hitting the button.
Uh-oh.
It was a cuss word. I blocked it out. That's why there was that whole announcement, people.
Yeah, we don't do cuss words. So if you call in, please don't cuss at us. It will be deleted. Okay, so we are the only radio show in Shasta County that's shining a spotlight on extremism, and we're very devoted to this endeavor. 6 months ago, we launched Shasta Unmasked to shine a light on extremism in Shasta County and keep our community informed. Thanks to your amazing support, we raised $2,400 and have brought critical discussions on local government, schools, and accountability straight to you. But we face challenges along the way. We, Jessica, Shay, and Ashley, have been attacked at our places of employment for using our voices and standing up for what's right. Despite these personal sacrifices, we've donated hundreds of hours to keep the show running. From hosting, coordinating guests, and managing social media to turning it into a podcast, we've done all of this on our own time without pay. Our show has reached over 150,000 people through Facebook. Whoop, whoop! And we now have 1.6 thousand followers who rely on us to stay informed and engaged. But we can't do this alone. We're launching a new fundraiser to raise the next $2,400. This covers the cost of keeping our spot on the radio station for the next 6 months. Every donation helps us continue our important work of keeping Shasta County informed and exposing extremism. We've done our part by giving our time, facing personal attacks, and standing up for what matters. Now we need you to do your part and help keep us going. Every little bit counts. So you can donate if you go to our website or our Facebook page. Sorry, not website. Our Facebook page. You can contribute to our GoFundMe and help us continue to expose extremism. And I will tell you, just going through audio footage and, you know, transcripts from board meetings, from school board meetings to county board meetings, we go through hours and hours, and it does take our little village to keep us going. So please be generous, and if you are a listener, even if you can donate $5, every little bit helps. So we're going to go into our next extremist, Teresa Roberts, who is running for SCOE. And she is an accountant with zero experience in public education. She contradicts herself consistently. And we have a little bit of audio of her where she talks about how our kids do not need social emotional help. Cue audio.
Is this the Spanish?
No.
The
first one.
The one where she's at the board meeting.
This is partly concerning Consent 9 on here. It seems that the school systems are actually getting further and further away from the education of students, and they're beginning to bring in social services into the schools. That's not where the social services belong. They belong.
Hey, Teresa, really quick. Hey, Stephanie, C9's been pulled. Can we still take C9 right now?
She can speak to C9 right now or speak to C9 separately if she would like, but have her speak twice.
Just so you know. Go ahead.
That's fine.
Perfect.
So I just thought that I would bring that up. And the other thing, too, is SCOE administration, SCOE pulls in, I think they're funded at $120 million annually. Credentialed administration is at 140 people at over $20,400,000 for wages and benefits for those 140 who oversee approximately 150 students. I see that there is a lot of waste there. Should be going to the kids. Kids are all different. Every single kid is in each individual, and they're all put in the same box. And those boxes need to be changed. They need to be tossed out. As to the opioid issues and the drug addiction issues, when you look at the generations from where these drugs come from and the traumas that these kids have been through and these kids that are out there on the streets, they all come from trauma that hasn't been addressed. And it goes on to the next generation. And it goes on to the next generation. So the kids that I'm seeing in schools like Excel, they have traumas that are not being addressed. Okay? We don't have trades in the schools like we used to. These kids learn with their hands. They learn with their imagination. And if they're not allowed to do that, they're not going to succeed. So when I'm looking at this SCOE and more money going into prevention of adverse childhood, what are they going to do? Are they going to bring in more social services? Or are they going to actually educate these kids? Maybe teach them a trade. This is what needs to be figured out. I mean, gotta get this social service stuff out of the schools and start teaching these kids the right way. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So that was contradiction after contradiction. She goes on to her speech about how social services are not needed. SCOE pulls in funds for their credentialed administration. So these are people with years of education and experience who are teaching our children. The opioid issues cause traumas that are not addressed, but we shouldn't do anything to address them. And we shouldn't spend any money addressing it. They just need to do some hands-on stuff. And there's no prevention of these adverse childhood effects, but also get social services stuff out of education. I'm confused. Clearly, this woman is also confused. So I think we can...
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Yes, exactly. Great, Ben. Thank you for that audio. I think it's easy to say that this woman does not know what she's talking about. And just recently, just a few days ago, she said that there's no need to learn Spanish or speak Spanish unless you're moving to Mexico. So
I should have had a sound queued up for that, because that is shocking.
So cue audio two. As we learn from Teresa Roberts that there's no need for a second language to be learned in our public education.
And you know, when I went to college, I had to take Spanish to get a business degree with my focus on accounting. Why do I have to take Spanish? I'm not going to move to Mexico.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a tough one for me. A, Spanish is not only spoken in Mexico. And B, why would you want to keep our kids from being bilingual or trilingual? As an educator, I am frightened to think that somebody like this could end up in our county school board. So we are just going to put it out there that Teresa Roberts is – check that box off. We do not want to vote for Teresa Roberts because, you know, she doesn't need to speak Spanish unless she's going to Mexico, and she's not going there. Next on the list is our favorite, Dick Gallardo. Richard Gallardo is running for SCOE District 2. Against our very own Jessica French, Jackie LaBarbera, and Amy Cavallari. And, of course, full disclosure, Jessica is the co-host of this show. And number one, we would support her for sure. Jackie is a Moms for Liberty indoctrinated school board member. And she is currently on the Anderson Union High School school board. And I could talk for hours about the damage that she has done to our school. Amy Cavallari is the incumbent, and she has a lot of years of experience as well, and two spots are open. Richard Gallardo has a vast criminal history, which includes being fired from his job. Yeah, there's that criminal history. Fired from his job for brandishing a weapon at work, and also got in trouble for killing squirrels on a neighbor's property. What? Like, is it bad that I am more disturbed by killing of the squirrels on the neighbor's property than I am of brandishing a weapon at work? Both of which seem just absolutely, you know, bonkers to think that somebody like that could be sitting on a school board and making decisions for local education, for our public education. It's absolutely insane to me.
How do we know the squirrels weren't armed?
The squirrels may have been armed. We don't know.
Asking the hard-hitting questions.
We've never been able to contact the squirrels because they're
not
deceased.
Yet.
The squirrels are deceased. So this is true. There are two sides to every story, as Jackie LaBarbera said, about the apartheid in South Africa, that if we are going to teach about the apartheid in South Africa, we need to teach both sides of that story, right?
Yeah, so let's hear the squirrel side.
Right? I don't know. I'm dumbfounded by that. But I think it is time for a break, yeah? 6:45?
Yeah, I think that's true.
All right, let's take a little break, and we're still mourning the squirrel deaths. So we're going to go to break and take a moment of silence for the squirrels. All right.
Is this is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
But join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. from my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Okay, we're back at KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. Please call in at 605-4567 or 4566. We are taking your calls tonight. I am taking your calls tonight because I am here on the air all alone, and I would really like to hear from you guys.
Well, what about me?
Oh, Ben's here. Yeah. Ben's here with sound effects and squirrel funerals. So before we move on to the last 10 minutes of the show, I did want to point out some of the other crazy stuff that Richard Gallardo has said, because I really want to push how insane this guy is, and that he is aligned with Jackie LaBarbera, who is also crazy, but she's very strategic about what she does. And so she asked these people to come and sit in during board meetings so that they can ask the crazy questions, and then she can pretend like she's surprised by the question and also needs to contemplate whether or not what these people are saying is true. And at one of the Anderson Union High School board meetings, Richard Gallardo got up and stated that if we accepted the community schools grant, the next thing that we would be doing, if this is the slippery slope, the next thing that would happen is teachers would be giving abortions in the cafeteria. Thank you for that. Exactly. crazy town. So, you know, I don't think you need to be liberal or conservative or progressive, whatever, to know that this is nuts and this is not somebody that we want representing our county, and especially not public education. So what we'd like to focus on for the last few minutes is talking about how this also affects our funding, because that was one of the things that was brought up, and this is a constant, and it's part of Project 2025, where they want to defund public education. And so if these people get in as majority members of our school boards, and especially our county school boards, how this will affect us negatively for funding. So we did some research, and this is what we came up with. Here's how it may affect local school funding. Reduction of federal grants and programs. One of Project 2025's goals is to reduce the size and influence of the federal government by cutting back on federal agencies and programs. Many local governments, particularly in areas such as education, infrastructure, and social services, rely on federal grants to supplement their budgets. If Project 2025 successfully implements cuts to federal programs or shifts responsibility to states and localities, local governments may see a reduction in federal funding for these critical services. And now we bullet point those services. We've got education, federal funding for schools, especially in areas like Title I. This is a big thing right now. They are demonizing Title I, which supports our low-income schools especially. So special education could be affected. Our low-income kids who really need those extra supports, like for things like mental health, and the things that Teresa Roberts says are impacting our kids and their education, but she doesn't want any funding for that, Project 2025 would affect that specifically. This could lead to budget shortfalls at the local level, potentially resulting in cuts to services, teacher layoffs, or increased local taxes to make up the difference. So when the ideology doesn't hit home, maybe we could talk about the funding, because nobody likes those extra taxes, and nobody likes the idea of having to fundraise so that your kids can have a sports team or get help after school because they need some tutoring or they need some mental health support. Infrastructure is affected. Local projects such as roads, bridges, and public transportation systems often rely on federal funding. Project 2025's push to limit federal spending could reduce the availability of such funds, placing more pressure on local governments to either raise their own revenue or delay important infrastructure projects. And we know in Shasta County, we need these funds. We need this help. It looks like we have a caller. Can we patch him through?
Am I on?
You're on. Hi.
Oh, hi. This is Michael.
Hi, Michael. What's up?
Hi. So I was listening to you talk about Title I, from what, and it affects special education. Isn't special education funding already severely impacted in most schools? Like that they can't really afford any cuts, right?
Correct. We can't afford, so, I mean, anybody who works in public education knows that any budget cuts to education are detrimental, right? Like, we fundraise so that our kids can get jerseys for their sports teams. We fundraise so that, you know, kids can get after-school tutoring, or we get grants so that they can get tutoring after school if they're struggling in math or reading. And these folks talk a lot about reading, writing, arithmetic, literacy, kids needing this help. And we know, I know specifically because I am a teacher and I have been for 20-plus years, that our kids need all the funding they can get. To pick this as your pet project to defund is insane to me. Kind of like shooting your neighbor's squirrels. That's about as much sense as it makes, right?
Yeah, I mean, especially because right now California has a budget deficit, and they're not even giving, most schools aren't even giving cost of living increases. So to cut that will...
Correct, yeah.
...cost boxes. And all kinds of other things.
Yes. The state gave, I think, 0.75 for COLA increase this year. A couple of years ago, we were funded a little bit better because of COVID and the mitigation that we had to do. But as a whole, Yes, we are underfunded across the board.
Yeah, and I believe most schools are using that 0.75 just for, like, increases in steps and columns and things like that.
Correct, yes, so that teachers can get their tiny little raise.
I wanted to ask a couple of questions about the Moms for Liberty thing. So I know that banning books has been one of their things, and I believe one of their candidates, Jackie LaBarbera, on her webpage, on her Facebook page, has a list of books that she wants banned. Do you happen to know what those books are, or...
I do not. Actually, that's the first time I've heard this, and I, for my own mental health, I kind of had to stop following the things that she was promoting.
Yeah.
Oh, we have another caller. So, yeah, I don't know what those books are, but I would encourage anyone who is considering voting for Jackie LaBarbera to just check out her Facebook page and see what she does stand for, because... I will tell you, she's pretty transparent on her own personal pages. When she speaks publicly, she's not so transparent, but she slips up a lot on those personal pages of hers. So, but we do have one more caller, and we're down to 4 minutes. So thank you, Michael, for calling in, and we're going to take the next caller real quick.
Hi.
Hi.
Who is this?
This is Tamara.
Hi, Tamara. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to call and talk about a little bit what these folks and who these folks are going after. You know, obviously, we see that they're going after our kids with the public schools, but it's more than that, I think. They're going after not only the children, but they're going after the children that need the most support. So they're... The Project 2025, special education is a federal program. IDEA and all of that is federal.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we talk about dismantling the Department of Education and all that, that is a direct attack on our disabled children, and that's not okay. And then they're going after our LGBTQ plus children. They're going after the kids that need the social emotional support in the classroom to even be able to learn.
Yeah.
The kids that are going home to abusive homes, or they're coming out of drug situations. There was some statistic that I read many, many years ago that said in Shasta County, 1 in 5 children are in foster care by the age of 5.
Oh my gosh.
Now, this is an old statistic that I found somewhere, you know, early 2000s, but it says a lot about our area, and it's not a far-fetched statistic to see if you walk around our area.
Right.
There is a huge need for social-emotional supports, for community supports in general, and it the idea of going after the children, which are literally like our best hope to bring our area out of where it currently is.
The biggest investment, right, is our kids. I think the idea of defunding our future is probably the most detrimental thing that you can do for a community. And
Absolutely. We
are down to our last 50 seconds. Is there anything specific you want to shout out before we say goodnight?
I just want to say thank you to the three of you ladies putting on the show. It has been amazing. And vote for Jessica for Scully.
Perfect. Thank you. And with that, we are going to say goodnight, folks. Pay attention, stay strong, and we're going to chime into the debate tonight. Thanks.
And have some thoughts and prayers for
them squirrels.
For them many missing. And
missing and exploited squirrels. All right. Thanks, guys. Good night.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.